like to especially welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us this morning, and welcome those worshiping via the live stream. We get to celebrate today. Our Lord is risen. Amen. He is victorious over death. We have hope. Hope for eternal life because of what Jesus has done for us. 1 Corinthians 15:55 to 56. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where death is your victory? Where death is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God this morning because we can be free. Free from that sting of sin and death, and we can walk in a newness of life. Jesus went to the cross and the grave, and he rose again to bring us life. So it's time to celebrate this morning, not be sorrowful, to celebrate with all of your heart. Praise God with everything that you have this morning. Don't hold your praise of God back. Don't focus on the things around you. Focus on God this morning and what he has done for you. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for giving us freedom. Freedom from the grip of sin and death through Jesus. Through his death and his resurrection. We can have a life that is new, and that is in you, Lord. As we worship you today, just bring fresh insight into the resurrection of Jesus and your promises that you gave us. Fill us to full and overflowing with your Holy Spirit this morning. Pour out a fresh anointing on this place. Fill it with your presence, Lord, so full that the doors burst open. Lord, we are here to celebrate you. In Jesus' name, amen.
One of the things that stood out to me this Easter season, thinking about the story of Christ's death and resurrection and ascending to heaven, was that an innocent man was killed. That's not new, but someone was responsible for doing that, and the blame got passed around to different people, and everyone was trying to make sure it wasn't them that was responsible. But what stood out to me most was that when he ascended, he is now the judge, and the judge is now judging who is guilty of for his death. And I remember years ago when Anna and I were first married, I had fallen asleep while I was driving and went through a red light, and I hit a car. A woman pulled out from a side road, and I ran right into the side of her, right in the driver's door. And just remember the feelings as I was standing there at the accident scene while they were destroying the car to get this woman out of the vehicle, and the ambulance took her to the hospital. And the man behind the car that had pulled out was really, really loud and telling about how terrible a person I was, which was true. I remember the feeling of, there's nothing I can do about this. I'm guilty. I'm responsible for this. And the woman did not die. I had stayed in contact with the police officer, and she survived. And then right after our first son was born, a little short time later, the sheriff came to our door and said, you know, you're being sued for this accident, and money that was waived, no way we could pay that. And by the grace of God, that all got worked out. But just the feeling of being the responsible for that, that action, and then having, what if that person would have been the judge of me and would not have extended any forgiveness?
Controversy. 2,000 years ago, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ was a great controversy. Listen to the different responses to Peter.
Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But David was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of David's descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah.
When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied,
"Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call."
Then 3 chapters later, the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. He said,
"We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name of Jesus. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood."
Peter and the other apostles replied,
"We must obey God rather than man. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him."
When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death.
So the responsibility for the crucifixion of Jesus and the truth that God raised him from the dead is still controversial. We too are guilty of crucifying Jesus by our sin.
But God raised him from the dead, exalted him to the highest place, and gave him all authority. Jesus, the Lord of all heaven and earth, whom we crucified, will return and judge us.
One response is to be furious and try to put this message to death.
Another response is to be cut to the heart and ask, "What should we do?"
Third response is indifference and unconcern.
For all who surrender in reverent submission, Jesus is merciful, he's forgiving and kind, and will dwell within them with his Spirit.
Today we are called to surrender ourselves to the risen Lord.
May stand.
Oh,
Ushers can come forward, the children can bring their coins forward.
So we will just pray this morning. So, Father, we do thank you this morning that Jesus has risen. And I pray that each and every morning we wake up, we can have that picture of you sitting there at the right hand of God with that crown on your head. And we can remember every day you are risen. We have a brand new life. And Lord, I pray that we can stop focusing on having a brand new life and live that out. Show us the way. Guide us through that. You are our guide and direction. You are the only way for us to live. And I pray that each and every one of us puts away our wants, the things that we want, and follow you with what we truly and honestly need, Father. Continue to put on our hearts that we can see that vision every day of you just sitting right there next to the Father at his right hand, that you are there for us whenever we need you. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. It's also the month of Ramadan. Life gets a little slower, but we continue our involvements.
I celebrated International Women's Day with my colleagues at the hospital.
I teach courses at a Christian university and also take part in Muslim-Christian peace dialogues.
One day we were late to school because the road was blocked by a hippo.
I got a wheelbarrow from one of the big field bays.
Are you feeling better now?
There are lots of languages in Chad, but we use mostly two, French and Arabic.
That was just a brief update from the Sensing family as they serve in Chad. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for our children's message. There's a new room. You guys can just sit on the floor right in front of everybody else. That's a good spot, too. There's a little bit of room on the bench, maybe for one more person. If you want a chair, Rick will grab you a chair. There you go. Have a seat on a chair if you'd like one. There's a spot right there on the bench. There we go. Well, good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
How many people are tired because they had to get up early to be here a little early? But the donuts should have, and all that sugar should have overpowered that tiredness, right? You were up at 5 this morning? Wow, you were up before I was. Wow. So, what are we celebrating today? 4th of July, right? Christmas. No? Then what?
Easter.
Easter, yes.
The third day of Easter.
What does it mean to celebrate Easter?
About Jesus rose from the dead.
Jesus rose from the dead, yes. He died on the cross to take away our sins, and he was placed in the tomb, and on Easter Sunday morning, he rose from the dead, giving us life. I do have a question for you. Does anybody know, I'm a slide behind already. Does anybody know what ship this is? What is it? Wrong. it is the Titanic sister ship, the Olympic. Good job, though. See, if that wasn't a trick question, you would have been correct. There's very little differences in the ships, and, well, actually, there's big differences. One's on the bottom of the ocean and one's not, but in the design of the ships, there's some differences. So this morning, we're going to talk about Noah. Noah, right? Well, it's just a boat. I just wanted to think you guys to think about ships and boats and, yeah, just getting it into your mind. So, did you guys know Noah is the story of Noah is an Easter story?
How?
It is. I'll explain it to you. It really is. But you guys are going to have to help me with the story. So, who told Noah to do what?
Make an ark.
Yeah, he was supposed to. Who told Noah to make the ark, though? God told Noah to make an ark. Why did God tell him to make an ark?
Because the whole city will flood.
Because there's going to be a flood.
Yes, because there was going to be a flood. Good job, guys. There was going to be a flood, and it was going to what? Cover the whole earth, right? Who was in the ark? Noah and his family, and what else?
And animals.
Animals, right. Two of every kind of animal. I'm probably getting behind on my slide. See, there he's building the ark. There's the animals coming. And they filled the ark. And then it started raining, and then there was a flood, and the ark was floating around. And then what happened? The ark came to rest on a mountain, and the waters dried up, and then what? They came out of the ark, right?
Yeah.
What did God put in the sky as a reminder?
Oh.
A rainbow. Yes. He put a rainbow in the sky. Does anybody remember what the rainbow stands for? What's the rainbow mean? You put your hand up. Ah, your mind went blank. Ah, I hate when that happens. Trust me, it happens a lot when you get older. The rainbow is a reminder that God is not going to flood the earth and destroy everything by a flood. So, how does this tie into Easter? Well, Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins and raising from the dead is a lifeboat to everybody. That's a modern lifeboat that you might see on a cruise ship or something. So when a ship sinks, what do you have to do to be saved? What? Get out of that ship? Yeah, what do you have to get into? A lifeboat, right? What did Noah have to do? He built a boat. But what after he built it, what did he have to do? He had to actually get in it. And that boat was his lifeboat, right? The ark was his lifeboat. So, who is our lifeboat?
God and Jesus.
Jesus. So, how do we get into our lifeboat? We ask Jesus into our hearts as our Lord and our Savior, right? So, when you guys think about Easter, I want you to remember what Jesus did for you. He went to the cross, then he went to the tomb, and he rose again to life. And I want you to remember that he is our lifeboat. And when you look at all the stories in the Bible, they come back and they tie together. They all point us to Jesus. And Jesus is our lifeboat because when we ask him into our hearts, he saves us. So I would like to pray for you guys, and then you may have a snack and head back to your seat. So shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would bless these children. Help them and us to understand what you did for us on the cross. And Jesus rising again from the dead. You are the one who can save us. You are our lifeboat. Just pour a blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can have a snack. And if there's not enough in that box, Teresa has some more. So as a reminder, there is a sign-up sheet over in the table in the overflow for our 24-hour time of prayer leading up to the nomination period opening for associate pastor. We as a church should be able to fill up multiple sheets of paper. It's not just 24 people praying one time slot for an hour. We as an entire church should be covering this, bathing this in prayer. It's very important. And I would also encourage you to spend some time fasting. If you're able to, fast the whole 24 hours. Or maybe just skip one meal if you're able. If you're not, maybe find a different way to fast and spend that time in prayer. This is very important. This is very serious. And to take time to listen to God's direction, His leading and guidance for us. I'd like to thank all those involved for the planning and participating in our Good Friday service. It was enjoyed by many. Many people came up to me and said thank you for it, and I really didn't do anything. The Planning Services Committee, they planned it, they ran with it. They just asked me to do a couple things, so I want to give them credit for all the hard work they did. They deserve it very much, and I appreciate all your hard work. Thank you to those who prepared the meal last night. Thank you for all your hard work and your service. And for those who prepared our food for this morning, just thank you for your service this morning. You could give us some feedback if you liked the way we did it this morning. You can just write it on your Connect cards and drop them in a box. If you liked how we did that this morning with having the food part and then Sunday school and then the church service. The next 3 Sundays after today, they will be qualification messages for the associate pastor role. So spend time praying about that as we enter that time. Just welcome again and just thank you for your prayers for my family and myself this week as I prepared this message. I had one of those weeks where I had one less day to prepare, and it felt like I didn't get anything done the first day, and so I just cranked up the worship music and started typing, and God was faithful to give this message, and I was able to get all the things I had to get done for today completed. So our message this morning is titled, Fully Alive in Christ. This is truly a day of celebration because He is risen. Without the resurrection, Jesus would have been just another guy going to the grave, being hung on the cross by some Romans, and there was many people who met their end in that way. And because Jesus is risen, we can have an abundant life, knowing that death is defeated. The grave holds no power over us, those who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. To clarify that a little bit, we that have Christ as our Lord and Savior, unless Christ returns before we physically die, we will face death. But we will not face a spiritual death. When Christ returns and sits on the judgment seat, He will judge everyone. And those who do not believe in Jesus as their Lord will face an eternal death as separation from God. But those who do believe and accept Jesus as their Lord will experience eternal life where death has no hold on them. We have a build-up leading to Easter, and as we focus on the life of Jesus and his ministry, why he came to us, we get to this low point on Friday, and we focus on the cross, and there's this heaviness in our hearts, and Jesus went to the tomb, and now what? I thought the Messiah was here, and now he's dead, is what many people in Jesus' day were thinking, that he had to be the Messiah. Why is he now dead? They didn't understand what was going on. But then we get to Easter morning, and we find out that Jesus, the Christ, is risen from the dead. He is alive. How amazing and wonderful is that, that Christ is alive. He's not dead. And he rose for all of us. See, we can look past what all the disciples and all the followers of Jesus were seeing. We can look past that. We can look back and see what the true outcome was. All those disciples could only see what was happening right in front of them. They had this small view of what was going on. They saw their Messiah die right in front of them in the most terrible, degrading way possible. The King died as a criminal. The Son of God hung on a cross. They took him down and they wrapped him in linen and then they placed his body in the tomb. They rolled a large stone in front of it, and it felt like the end in that moment. But we're going to pick up what was going on in Matthew 28, 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the woman, "Do not be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. Just as he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid. Go, tell my brothers to leave for Galilee. They will see me there." As Mary and others approached the tomb, still in a state of doubt and confusion and disbelief from the day's events that just happened, there was an earthquake. The ground shook and the stone was rolled away. The soldiers fell and became like dead men at the sight of the angel. The angel tells the women that Jesus, their Lord and Messiah, is alive. Our Lord and Savior is alive. They were in the pit of despair and confusion, and they went to amazement and joy in just moments. And as they went to tell the other disciples that he is risen, something even better happens. Something so wonderful that I don't think they could even imagine it. They had this news that the angel told them, but Jesus actually met them and greeted them. And they realized that their Messiah is alive. They came and clung to him and worshiped him. They got to worship the Son of God. Then Jesus goes and appears to his disciples on different occasions and to show them that he is alive. And he even had to eat with them to really prove that He was truly alive. And after 40 days, Jesus ascends to heaven, which brings us the Holy Spirit. And this makes us fully alive because the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. Acts 10, 34, I'm going to read to 44. So there is a verse missing up there. Peter began to speak. Now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, the person who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. He sent the message to the Israelites proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is our Lord of all. You know the events that took place in Judea. Beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how He went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with Him. We ourselves are witnesses to everything He did in both the Judean country and in Jerusalem, and yet they killed Him. By hanging Him on a tree, God raised up this man on the third day and caused Him to be seen, not by all the people, but by us, whom God appointed as witnesses, who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach. Sorry, I'm going the wrong way. No, I'll keep going. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about Him through His name. Everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness for sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came down on those who heard the message. This is the mission of Jesus looking forward, where all who accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior receive a new life in Christ. We receive the Holy Spirit. It started with the disciples and the Jews, and then it spread to the entire world. Everyone can have a life that is full and abundant because of what Jesus has done for each one of us. To begin to put that into words, I don't know that it can be done. I don't think it can be done. What Christ has done for us. Colossians 3, 1-4. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. After we ask Christ into our hearts, and when we set our minds on Jesus and His mission that He has for us, truly set our life focus on Jesus, then we can have a life that is full. We can be fully alive. And it doesn't matter what happens to us. whether we die or we're poor or we're hungry, it doesn't matter, because we know we are secure in the arms of Jesus. And when we engage in the mission of Jesus and what He has for us, what He has for each one of us, we're supposed to go and share the love of Jesus. The message of the gospel, the birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection. The resurrection from the grave. The new life, the full, abundant life that we can have, we're supposed to show that to other people and share that with others. We're supposed to make it available to everyone. We're not supposed to live in fear. We're not supposed to fear this world. We're supposed to speak the name of Jesus, bringing hope, the hope that we have in us, to everyone. We're supposed to bring it to this lost and this hurting world. When we go and we do the will of God, we're fully alive. Do you want to be fully alive, or do you want to live just a little bit? I'm going to stay over here in my comfort zone. I don't want to leave what I'm used to. Or do you want to be fully alive? Don't go through the motions. Let it truly sink into your heart what Jesus did for you. Let it change you. Let it remake you. Let the Holy Spirit come and lead and guide you. Be filled with joy. Celebrate what Jesus did. Celebrate the life and the love that Jesus showed for each one of us. Celebrate the empty tomb. Celebrate God's love and His mercy that He gave us. God, in His wisdom, planned this from the beginning. So as we gather around the communion table in a few moments, let your heart be filled with joy. Let it not be sorrow. Let it be praise. Let it be thankfulness. Don't cling to the cross. Christ is not there. He is risen from the grave. He is alive. This is not a time of mourning. This is a time of celebration. We need to celebrate what Christ did for us. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I don't have the words to thank you for Jesus and His sacrifice that He made for me, someone who was against you, and yet you loved me. You showed mercy to me. And like the empty tomb, you gave us a new life in you. Praise you, God, for all of your goodness, which has no end. Thank you for your Spirit that lives in us, that He's there to guide us and be close to us, that we can be close to you. Help us to celebrate you, Lord, in all that we do, in everything we do each day. In the mundane tasks, let us celebrate you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to be transitioning into our time of communion, and I would like to invite Larry Weber to come forward and lead us in partaking of the emblems.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Amen. Listen to these words from 1 Peter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come, so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So are you filled with an inexpressible joy this morning? So as we move into our time of sharing around the communion table, may we remember that Jesus Christ himself gave us these emblems. The bread is a symbol of his broken body, and the cup as a symbol of his blood that was shed freely, so that we can have our sins forgiven and have access to the free gift of eternal life. These symbols were given to us as reminders of the incredible sacrifice that Jesus has made on our behalf. So I invite anyone to come to the communion table who has personally received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that includes any guests who may be worshiping with us today. So I invite you to approach this time of communion in a spirit of worship, in a spirit of love, and in a spirit of awe for what God has done for us. So I invite you to come, not somberly, but reverently and with a spirit of expectancy. Expecting to commune deeply with the risen and living Jesus Christ. Remembering that it is only through Jesus' sacrifice that we are cleansed from our sins and made whole. So just a few instructions. We'll be distributing the emblems. I would ask you to wait to partake of the emblems until everyone has been served, and then we'll partake of the emblems together. So may God richly bless our time together as we share around the communion table. I'd like to read a few scriptures, first from Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrow. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then 1 Corinthians 11. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." So at this time, I'd like to invite Pastor Tony to come and help to prepare the emblems. Join me in giving thanks. Almighty God, thank you. We stand in awe this morning of your amazing love for each one of us today. We come boldly to the communion table, not trusting in ourselves that we are righteous, but trusting only in you and your great mercy and grace. May this bread speak to our hearts of the precious body, your one and only Son, that was broken for us. And Father God, we also recognize afresh today that your Son Jesus also shed his blood so we can have our sins blotted out and be truly forgiven and adopted into your kingdom as sons and daughters. So it is in and through Jesus Christ that we have boldness to call you our Father. Thank you. Thank you for your great love expressed to us in these emblems, the bread and the cup. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I'd like to invite the brothers to come forward to help distribute the emblems at this time.
Yeah.
So has everyone been served who desires to participate in partaking of the bread? So the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So may our eyes be open to recognize Jesus in a brand new and fresh way this morning as we partake of the bread together. So I invite the brothers to come forward to distribute the cup. So is everyone been served who cares to participate? So in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's partake of the cup together. So may God richly bless each one of you for participating in this time of communing around the Lord's table this morning. May we be united in faith and inspired by Christ to love the world as he loves the world. And may the Holy Spirit empower each one of us to live and to walk in the truth that he is resurrected from the dead. He's alive and seated at the right hand of God the Father and is coming back one day, very soon. May God bless you and fill you with hope today. So I'd like to invite the worship team to lead us in a closing song.
For closing the song, we're going to sing "I Cast My Mind to Calvary," or "Praise the Name." I invite you to stand.
Sure.
Praise God this morning. Receive this parting benediction. Go in a newness of life that was given through the blood of Jesus. The empty tomb and the filling of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Be empowered. Empowered by His Spirit to go and share the love of Jesus to all. Go in peace. Be fully alive. Alive in Christ. You're dismissed. Have a blessed Easter.